Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
You are listening to Troubadours and Raconteurs with E.W. Conundrum Demure on Radio Free Brooklyn. Welcome to episode 252 of Troubadours and Raconteurs with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. On this week's episode, we talk with our regular contributor, our resident philosopher, farmer and winemaker, Almighty Todd. And we discuss with the Almighty 2017, a bit of a reflective conversation. We also focus on some of the key players, people, actions, and such. And we look forward to 2018 as well. Great conversation with Almighty Todd on today's program. We also have an EW essay by yours truly titled Champion, and another beautifully crafted and wonderfully read essay by our associate producer and resident essayist, Dr. Michael Pavese, Uncle Cesare, a.k.a., written by Charles Lamb, titled New Year's Eve. And we have a poem called Fear, too. And all of this, as is always the case, will be ensconced, infused, imbued with a wonderful energy and sound by several great tunes. Let's get to it. Episode 252 of Troubadours and Raconteurs.
a hut. Now it's all covered with daisies. You got it, you got it. I miss the honky tonks, Dairy Queens, and 7-Elevens. You got it, you got it. And as things fell apart, nobody paid much attention. You got it, you got it.
Champion. Solzhenitsyn wasn't beaten in a metaphysical way. He blessed the prison in the Soviet Union for helping keep his soul from fading away. Another example of the extraordinary potential we humans can learn to display, drawing from deep sources, rebelling and nurturing our better selves, rather than succumbing to obey. Along the grain cut especially toward collective, disjointed, spiritual disarray by those of us who do not believe in courage or trust in love and justice, but instead heed the selfish call of our basest instincts and passed on fears. We will all suffer if we are here long enough and openly, truly embrace life and ourselves. But only through the whole can we sense and exist as a person fully alive. Until our story might be transcribed by our progeny and witnesses. By our efforts and deeds and work, emotion, humility, compassion, wisdom, kindness, and yes, once again, I mention love. What else but these should one cultivate, share, and champion?
I'm
Almighty Todd, is that you?
Yes. Is that you, EW Conundrum Kloss?
Kloss. It's past. Christmas is past, my young urchin.
The 12 days of Christmas. We have the extra Christmas decorations that stay up. There's always the... There's a certain lobby at home that wants them to stay up farther into the year, but I try to put the pressure on around Epiphany.
Yeah, well, and there's Russian Christmas, too, which is, I think, January 7th or 8th or something like that.
Oh, well, maybe that's what we'll move our official date to.
Yeah. Yeah, you should. I mean...
Well, not us. I think, the U.S. might consider doing that.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, Trump has been put, you know, pressure has been put on him by Putin to do so. No pressure.
You're the pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. We are the people, the proletariat. We're getting started off in a bitter, cynical way, aren't we? It's nice to have you back on the program, ladies and gentlemen. Almighty Todd, our resident philosopher on Troubadours and Rock On Tours, as well as, he's many things. He's a farmer. He's a winemaker. He dabbles in a lot of areas. He's a polymath, too, I would say. So today we're going to talk with this go-around. We're going to talk with the Almighty about his reflections on 2017. And we're also going to identify some significant people, groups, events, good and bad of 2017. And then we'll look ahead to 2018. So let's start with your reflection on 2017.
Well, 2017... personally, it's been an interesting year of some, just things moving forward at a better pace than in the past, just on personal projects and things like that. So I've been kind of happy in that regard. I think overall, though, 2017 has been a year of disruption, to say the least. I think that disruption of normative behavior, for good and for bad. And I think that I have this feeling that even though we like to turn the clock after January 1st and start anew, I feel like there's a kind of a movement, a wave here that will probably continue through 2018, and it would be foolhardy of me to predict for myself otherwise in terms of expectations. But I think norms have been busted pretty significantly this year, not just on the political ethical side, which we've discussed previously, but culturally, some really important norms have been challenged and maybe breaking down. And one of them I point to, obviously Time picked as the person of the year the silence breakers and women standing up against sexual assault. And there's been a pretty remarkable rise of people speaking out about things that they have experienced in the past, things that they're experiencing now. And I feel like something that has been kept quiet or kept in personal conversations for a long time is now being pushed out into the light. And I think that that's probably in general a good thing, but it is disruptive and it's a little bit chaotic. And I think we're going to need to take 2018 to kind of sort out where things fall on a spectrum, because I feel like we're still in kind of a black and white phase right now. And then I think about, in terms of politics and ethics, that so much of what we have expected, at least I have expected from government, I'm now finding out has been built on individual ethical behavior and group ethical behavior and standards that are set from within an organization for, either transparency or credibility of behavior. And I feel like most of those norms have been either ignored or bypassed by not just the current executive branch, but what's been happening in our legislature, our federal legislature, and may even begin to change in our judiciary. So I think politically we're seeing a push against what many of us have come to believe as progress in terms of equality, egalitarianism, justice, and that there's been a pretty significant effort to undermine that. And I don't see as much pushback visibly from within the institutions as I would have thought there would have been. So, again, I say there's disruption all around us. So I think 2018 is going to be either continued chaotic disruption or a making sense of the disruption in such a way that it can be navigated.
So some of the disruption, like the light being shown on sexual abuse of women or power plays by heterosexual men, and actually gay men too in some areas, against people through sexual aggression or using sexual aggression as sort of a deal maker or breaker, as and that's a good thing that the light has been shown on that sort of, I guess, far or often experienced behavior in our society for forever, really. And the bad disruption, I think you just mentioned, was the ethical behavior and the sense of justice and egalitarianism in government and its institutions. That's not, we're going backwards in some ways.
Well, I think we're going backwards in some ways there, but there are certainly a number of my fellow Americans who actually voted for disruption to happen.
Yeah, the swamp. Drain the swamp.
Well, they may have said that, but I don't think the swamp's been drained exactly.
No.
Or if it was drained, it was filled with the raw sewage because the regulations were lifted on the on that probably. But they wanted things to get shook up.
It's almost adolescent, though. It's adolescent.
It is, because it's lacking in policy. It's lacking in ideas. It's just chaos for chaos's sake, because that'll be better than the institutionalized problems we have now.
But just to go back, because you're really starting to incite me with your very clear and I believe accurate analysis. Those folks that wanted to shake things up, turn everything upside down. Again, these are people that are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, who act like they're 12 when they look at the world and society. They don't understand or don't care to delve into the complexities of the different segments of our communities, our country, and all of the issues surrounding the states of these different groups. And also they don't dispel myths that exist. They believe them and are easily manipulated by divisive tactics so that those in power can continue through division to keep their power. And that upsets me, as you can hear in my tone.
Well,
they put in a total imbecile who is serving self while telling those who put him in that he's serving them, and they continue to support him, even though it's clear by what he's done in just a year and those who are in the Republican Congress are taking advantage of, given they have control of all three branches of government, that they are not going to help those folks who want to drain the swamp, yet they still continue to support those folks who are really taking advantage of their lack of diligence with regard to research and analysis and understanding of what's going on in our country and how our country works.
Right, but they're expressing their freedom by deciding not to be diligent.
So that's okay then? As long as they say it's based on freedom, it's okay, we just give them a pass? Well, they're free to be they're free to be without any basis for decision making that has grave, important ramifications for years to come. Just because they're free, they're all right to do that, because we say we're free. Again, that's adolescent.
Oh, it is. I know, but that's, like Paul Ryan saying, well, people have been freed from the yoke of government mandates, and so if they don't want to have life insurance, health insurance, they don't need to, and they are living in a freer society because of that, you know. Which for I feel like is a pretty twisted way of seeing things, but that's an example of the more global perspective. I mean, in terms of holistic perspective that you just articulated, that yeah, there is a certain segment that they wanted things to be shook up, but they either are not capable or not willing to go through the cost-benefit analysis of what are the consequences and repercussions of things being shaken up. I mean, it's like, okay, your house has some problems. There are some windows that are cracked or not opening correctly, and there are some doors that don't shut properly, and the kitchen stove is on the fritz. So is the answer to just bring a bulldozer in and knock it down and then start over? But what do you build it from? Or do you go about fixing the things that you can identify are problems that everyone can agree upon are problems and look at, you know, common solutions, you know, commonly arrived at solutions to fix those things? There's this very dulled wit aspect of the way we approach things. And I think it's because, as we've talked about before, we as a society consume so much media, and we're really always on the pull end of things, and we spend so much brain cells managing the number of inflows that I don't feel like we ever are really doing a very good job of contemplating the quality of those flows, how they affect our minds, how they affect our view of our world, how they affect our decision-making processes. We're kind of like the fire hose is just on and pouring over us. It's like standing in a shower, a hot shower, for way too long. It feels great, but then you've dried your skin out and you've emptied the hot water heater, or you've run your hot water, your water bill up, all these things that you realize afterwards, oh, geez, there were consequences to what I was doing.
Good analogies.
I'm just spitballing, but you know, I feel like simple analogies like that are probably the only way to put ideas out there that people can wrap their heads around. Sometimes, I, without us getting too worked up here, no need to have a coronary right before the holiday, the next holiday, as we work off all of the ham or cheese or whatever the heck we've been eating for the last week. Christmas cookies out the wazoo, probably.
I'm living off them. Yeah, breakfast is, you know, the chocolate biscotti or the pepper cookies and coffee, you know?
Yeah, I just got a text from home earlier today with the, uh-oh, out of Christmas cookies.
Now what? Detox. I got the shakes, man.
I need sprinkles.
But yeah, so we're reflecting on 2017, and you know, I wanted you to maybe give you an opportunity to identify some significant people, groups, events, good and bad, that come to mind for this past year.
You know, here's the problem is that because of the situation, I've been forced to consume a lot more news than my appetite usually has room for. And I've tried to parse it and sort it out as best I can and make sense of things. And I feel like there have been so many players in, you know, individual players on the stage this year that you'd almost have to like pick a category and then narrow it down from there, because there have been a lot of interesting folks, interesting, you know, kind of truly and euphemistically, that are, how can I say, influencing thought.
Well, go anywhere you want. I mean, social groups, community-minded groups, whatever you want.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, while I was thinking about this, what came across my desk this morning was the Gallup news poll that came out today. Did you see this one?
No, I did not.
It's the most admired Americans. And it was now for the past 10 years, Barack Obama is still the most admired American.
That's great.
And for the last, 16 years, Hillary Clinton has been the most admired woman. I mean, Barack's the most admired man, and Hillary is the most admired woman.
By all Americans.
Well, this is a Gallup poll.
A majority, yeah.
Yeah, although it's interesting because it's a poll of X number of people. I think it's 1,000 something randomly selected, probably from a larger poll. That's usually what they do, is they do a pretty large poll and then they just randomly pull an appropriate data set size out from there and use it. Like me, it's something like a quarter of the people that were asked couldn't come up with somebody to choose.
Wow.
Which kind of speaks again to my feeling of that there's this overload on the system right now. But the point is that I'm sure it's burning someone's chaps that Obama's the most admired American. Although maybe he'll take some solace in that he's in the number two slot this year.
Who's number one?
Number one was Barack Obama.
Oh, you said he was in the number two spot.
Yeah, no, Barack's in the number one spot, but there's a certain individual that's in the number two spot who has been in the number two spot behind Obama for the last for 3 years now. 45's at only 14% on that in this poll.
So those two people you find as significant figures, even though Barack has been relatively quiet. At least you're identifying them through the poll. What about, what about you, though? What do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah, I want to know what you think. Who are some significant people, or even one event, action, whatever, that sort of defines or has had a major impact on 2017, in your view? When you think of 2017, what are you thinking about?
I am thinking about the fact that my 401k might implode within the next 6 months.
So why is that going to happen?
Well, that's a whole different economics story, but there are market forces that are setting that up right now, and we can talk about that at another time. Maybe in 2 months, we'll see how much closer we are to it with the indicators. But okay, I would say then if you're going to talk about somebody, it's somebody who's been in the news a lot, but you haven't heard from at all. He hasn't said anything really. He doesn't do press conferences.
Who is this?
His team does not leak information. It's Mueller time.
Mueller.
Yes, it's kind of an enigma, this little puzzle that's both being built and being sorted out inside of an office in D.C., where a lifelong Republican that has basically been in service to the nation his entire adult life is engaged in an investigative process like none we've seen before in the modern era of this country.
You think it's bigger than Watergate?
I do believe it's bigger than Watergate because it has many more tentacles than Watergate did. And the fact that there is so much stonewalling of the investigation and this active PR campaign to undermine this investigation that we should all want to get to the bottom of, because what it's supposed to be looking into is how Russian intervention may have affected the U.S. election. That's a pretty broad general statement. And I would say that most Americans should want to know if that's in play. I mean, the Kremlin today just made an announcement that they're concerned that the U.S. is going to interfere in their upcoming elections.
What's that all about?
That's Vlad trying to come up with a resounding victory despite the influence of our enemy across the water.
Yeah.
There's the, you know, the
smoke and mirrors.
Smoke and mirrors.
You are listening to Troubadours and Raconteurs with E.W. Conundrum Demure on Radio Free Brooklyn.
You got it. So anyways, I would say yes. I think when we look back, what the Mueller investigation exposes to the light, I think will either in totality be nearly earth-shaking for this country, and it's going to be disruptive. It's knowledge that's going to be disruptive, and again, it's going to be our job to figure out how to deal with that and the repercussions of that. I by no means think that the investigation should end, but on the other hand, there's a distinct possibility that maybe because of his stature and what he represents, that when it all comes out in the end, and if he says, well, there's really nothing to this, then we're going to have to deal with the repercussions of that as well. But I think that that's a pretty far-fetched end of a spectrum, and that we're already seeing fruits of the labor. So my guess is we aren't going to just wind up with a couple of rat pelts nailed to the wall, the ones that have been identified so far in the pleadings. So
what are we going to end up with? The mane of the lion, of the alpha?
Interesting visual there.
It is orange.
If it's a comb over. I don't know. I mean, I feel like there may be some move along the way to figure out how to come to a conclusion without completely upending things.
Our country, our government.
Yeah, exactly. Even though, you know, I would say that at this point, the norms of government are in tatters.
Right. So
it's not the FBI that's in tatters, as was recently claimed. The normative process of government is in tatters. And, you know, I think we made a big leap forward. I mean, not a complete leap, but a big leap forward during the Bush administration in terms of transparency into what cabinet officials, what people at the secretary level were doing in terms of where they were going to be, their schedule of events, where they were going to show up so that reporters could be there. The Obama administration continued that, although not for all departments. Like the Department of Energy doesn't ever really tell you where the Secretary of Energy is going to be. Maybe that's for security reasons. But we are now at a time where that has all stopped. There are no calendars being produced anymore. And you can get hold of the calendar after the fact with a Freedom of Information Act request.
Yeah, so it is in tatters. It is in tatters.
Yeah.
And if someone came up to the executive branch and said, listen, we have very damaging information that I don't think you can explain away, you need to resign. We need to resign to help save this country from the tumult that if we pull you through the ringer, it will certainly cause. He probably will say, no, it's fake news.
Maybe, but then again,
the FBI is corrupt.
How many thousands of, I think it's on the order of 4,000 or so plus lawsuits that he's been involved in?
He's settled. Yeah.
Yeah, one way or another, he's settled. Right up to the one, you know, a fraud settlement. Right, leading up to the inauguration.
This is his reputation at an international level, and that would hurt his business and for his offspring if he truly cares about them. I don't know. I think he's a narcissist. So I don't think he really cares about anybody unless it directly affects him. But it's his reputation where you know, if he resigns, he's basically saying, I'm bad, I'm no good, I'm a failure, and I don't know that he could deal with that. Anyway.
Yeah.
You think that the Mueller investigation is one of the biggest things of 2017, and you think it's going to come to is not going to be a simple, easy conclusion that is or set of conclusions that is drawn from it.
No, I don't think so. And you know, I think that's the thing with special investigations like this, is that they do tend to, because they're given room to operate, they tend to go places that they weren't initially intended. Sometimes they fall down to the least thing that you can find to nail something with, a la what starts out as a real estate deal winds up being
Lewinsky.
It winds up being lying about a extramarital affair.
Right, or you get Al Capone on tax evasion.
Exactly.
Right. Now, what about how do we look forward then to 2018? What are you looking forward to? We only have a couple of minutes, so we've got to move to that. Almighty Todd here on Troubadours and Rock on Tours. I always enjoy our conversations and your analysis. It's fantastic. So 2018, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to a scant hope that some of us will be able to kind of speak to our better angels and learn how to, manage the information that we're dealing with. Maybe even reduce it a little bit if that makes it easier to manage. But I know so many people that are really on high anxiety right now because they find themselves up late at night having arguments on the internet, on Facebook with people over policy issues and things like that. And I feel like in this year we've kind of been in the throes of it, of this big change that we've been through. But I'm hoping that in general things will begin to settle down a little bit, that the platforms will begin to start identifying more readily items of information that are more or less credible. And I hear that that's in the works. I'm hoping that individuals will take the time to take a deep breath, and before they engage with somebody, if it's not in person, it's not somebody they know or somebody they've been introduced to and somebody they're talking to in the flesh, to number one, know that there's a human on the other end. And what I mean by that is, first, check who it is that you think you're discussing something with and see if they're a real person or not. Because I think we're burning a lot of calories on discussing things with robots. AI is at a point where it can carry on conversations and people don't know that they're talking to a robot.
Artificial intelligence, you mean when you say AI?
Yes, yeah, AI, artificial intelligence. So number one, know that you're talking to a person before you spend any calories on it. And then number two, recognize that it is a human being on the other end of the line. And with all of us with our graces and flaws, need to figure out how to treat one another with respect. And if we can't talk on the level playing field like that, you need to disengage from the conversation. I mean, this is somewhat what I'm looking forward to for myself as a check and balance in my own behaviors. But recognize that people do have different viewpoints, but also know the limits of these interactions. Chances are nobody is going to change anybody else's mind over the internet in an argument. So I'm hoping that level heads are going to begin to prevail, both individually and culturally, because the current fervor can't continue and have things go in a positive direction. It just it's going to lead towards more chaos, and that just hurts all of us, our society, our nation as a whole.
Well put, Almighty Todd. Thank you so much for taking time out to talk with us yet again, our resident philosopher, farmer, winemaker, regular contributor, Almighty Todd here in Troubadours and Rock on Tours. Buon anno, amico, fratello.
Cheers.
Take care.
You too, brother.
Ciao.
Ciao.
You know it would all happen. from New Year's Eve, an essay by Charles Lamb. Every man hath two birthdays, 2 days at least in every year, which set him upon revolving the lapse of time as it affects his mortal duration. The one is that which, in an especial manner, he termeth his. In the gradual desuetude of old observances, this custom of solemnizing our proper birthday hath nearly passed away, or is left to children, who reflect nothing at all about the matter, nor understand anything in it beyond cake and orange. But the birth of a new year is of an interest too wide to be predetermined by king or cobbler. No one ever regarded the 1st of January with indifference. It is that from which all date their time, and count upon what is left. It is the nativity of our common Adam. Of all sound, of all bells, bells, the music nighest bordering upon heaven, most solemn and touching is the peal which rings out the old year. I never hear it without a gathering up of my mind to a concentration of all the images that have been diffused over the past 12 months. All I have done or suffered, performed or neglected, in that regretted time. I begin to know its worth, as when a person dies. It takes a personal color, nor was it a poetical flight in a contemporary when he exclaimed, "I saw the skirts of the departing year." It is no more than what in sober sadness every one of us seems to be conscious of in that awful leave-taking. I am sure I felt it, and all felt it with me, last night, though some of my companions affected rather to manifest an exhilaration at the birth of the coming year than any very tender regrets for the decrease of the predecessor. But I am none of those who welcome the coming, speed the parting guest. I am naturally, beforehand, shy of novelties, new books, new faces, new years, from some mental twist which makes it difficult in me to face the perspective. I have almost ceased to hope, and am sanguine only in the prospects of other, former years. I plunge into foregone visions and conclusions. I encounter pell-mell with past disappointments. I am armor-proof against old discouragements. I forgive, or overcome in fancy, old adversaries. I play over again for love, as the gamesters phrase it, games for which I once paid so dear. I would scarce now have any of those untoward accidents and events of my life reversed. I would no more alter them than the incidents of some well-contrived novel. Methinks it is better that I should have pined away 7 of my goldenest years when I was thrall to the fair hair and fairer eyes of LSW than that so passionate a love adventure should be lost. Sun and sky and breeze and solitary walks and summer holidays and the greenness of fields and the delicious juices of meats and fishes, and society, and the cheerful glass, and candlelight, and fireside conversations, and innocent vanities, and jests, and irony itself. Do these things go out with life? Can a ghost laugh or shake his gaunt sides when you are pleasant with him? And you, my midnight darlings, my folios, must I part with the intense delight of having you, huge armfuls, in my embraces? Must knowledge come to me, if it come at all, by some awkward experiment of intuition, and no longer by this familiar process of reading? Shall I enjoy friendships there, wanting the smiling indications which point me to them here, the recognizable face, the sweet assurance of a look? For what satisfaction hath a man that he shall lie down with kings and emperors in death, who in his lifetime never greatly coveted the society of such bedfellows. Or, forsooth, that so shall the fairest face appear, why, to comfort me, must Alice W. be a goblin? More than all, I conceive disgust at those impertinent and misbecoming familiarities inscribed upon your ordinary tombstones. Every dead man must take upon himself to be lecturing me with his odious truism that, such as he is now, I must shortly be. Not so shortly, friend, perhaps, as thou imaginest. In the meantime, I am alive.
In the timbers up in Mary-O, the wolves are running round. The winter was so hard and cold, froze 10 feet beneath the ground. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. I sat down to my supper, was a bottle of red whiskey. I said my prayers and went to bed, that's the last they saw of me. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. When I awoke the diable, 600 pounds of sin was grinning at my window. All I said was, come on in. But don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. The wolf came in, I got my cards, we sat down for a game. I cut my deck to the queen of spades, but the cards were all the same. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. Don't murder me. Wash up in Mary-O, the black and bloody mud. The dying wolf collects his due while the boys sing round the fire. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. Don't murder me, I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. No, 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 don't murder me. I beg of you, don't murder me. Please don't murder me. Please don't murder me.
Fear. My dear, fear is always so near as I work hard to steer this body and soul. What is the goal, a half century at this point, in the making? To keep myself and those connected from snaking into an abyss of loathing, weakness of character, and instead toward courageous, thoughtful, love-centered hope and laughter, substance and light on our toes, dancing, walking with eyes deep and shining bright, romancing.
sky was made of amethyst, and all the stars were just like little fish. You should learn when to go. You should learn how to say no.
Episode 252 of Troubadours and Raconteurs, with yours truly, E.W. Conundrum Demure. I'd like to thank those folks who made this episode possible. First and foremost, our resident philosopher, farmer and winemaker, good friend, regular contributor, Almighty Todd. Wonderful to talk with you up there in Stockbridge, Vermont. Hope you're keeping warm. I also like to thank Uncle Cesare, our associate producer, also known as Dr. Michael Pavese, for sharing the great essay by Charles Lamb. I also like to thank these musical artists: Django Reinhardt, Stefan Grappelli, The Talking Heads, The Cure, Daniel Romano, The Grateful Dead, Hole, Branford Marsalis, and Terrence Blanchard II. Here's to a wonderful 2018. I hope all is well, and I wish the best to all of you. Until next week, enjoy this one.